Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new.
Woo.
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiancé.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyoncé.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Hello, everyone. It's Poodle's Takeover. Maddie's not here. So it's like, what is that where people would go, so-and-so, like it's a takeover or something? I don't know. Actually, Maddie's, most of you know, Maddie has, it's Reality Gaze, and this is Poodle. And Maddie is the newest contestant on the reboot of The Swan. So he's getting cut up today. No, we're all praying for him. And if you pray.
Should we start with a Father Weegee's prayer?
Thank you, Michelle. Y'all, with me, that's a great idea. With me is Robin and Michelle from Blind Day Fiancé. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
it's an
thank
honor
you. The Sissy Squad think that this is the week you've finally gone on Big Brother.
They thought this is when they think me going to Columbia is code for me going on Big Brother.
Yeah.
And I honestly, one of the reasons I did not apply is the idea of being in a house with 11 other idiots or 15 other idiots makes my skin crawl so much. But you guys, Robin and Michelle, they have a podcast called Bloody Day Fiancé. We've done crossovers with them before. And I do want to start with a Father Weegee's. I want to thank you for this day. I know that keep everyone safe, and I want you, Father, about Misha. I won't remember that when we're visiting, help her to understand that it's okay not to tell your parents. It ain't a sin. There's nothing in the Bible about telling your parents. And help keep her makeup clear and fresh while she's in Nazareth, Father Weegee's. In your name we pray, amen,
amen.
And maybe help Ukraine. So, yeah, you guys are here. We're talking B90, before the 90 dies, season 6, episode 5. The title is Suspect. And I think
which 80s rom-com is that? Because I'm not familiar.
Are all of them 80s rom-coms this time?
Yeah.
There's Splash. Yeah.
Splash, Overboard, and I don't know what Overboard is. That like a Steven Seagal movie or something?
Y'all, if you're not listening, Michelle just had the look of disgust on her face. Like he had just said, like Robin had just said something so foul. No, you know what it is? Overboard is a movie with Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell where it's basically, remember that Lindsay Lohan movie where she falls off a hill and she wakes up, this Christmas movie that we did, and she wakes up, she doesn't know where she is. Goldie Hawn is an awful person who falls off a boat, and then Kurt Russell basically takes advantage of her the whole movie. So, yeah. That was the 80s.
Romantic then.
Yes, very romantic.
Very romantic.
And convinces her she's a wife, that his wife, and makes her cook and clean for him. It was a different time.
But they've been together for like 40 years now, haven't they?
Are they still 40, together?
50 years? Yeah.
I think in real life they are.
Yeah.
In real life. God, living in sin.
Well, her daughter
living
has,
in sin.
Her daughter does all the failed relationships, I guess.
Robin.
Oh my.
What?
So
Maddie would not sanction Kate
Matt
Hudson.
Bellamy would not sanction this
trash
conversation.
Talk.
I'll get in trouble with
he
him.
Does love he does love Kate Hudson vodka.
Yes.
Yes. And I think that's good to know. I don't know what Suspect is. I don't think Suspect is a romantic comedy. It does sound like an Eddie Murphy vehicle.
Yeah, you see, I'm wondering, are they rom-coms or are they just 80s?
No, because we went Moonstruck, right?
Moonstruck
a
was
classic.
The first one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then Say Anything. Again, John Cusack holding up the boombox for those
yes.
of you who know what that is. Mm-hmm. Then we had...
Splash.
No, Splash was after Overboard.
Not Splash.
I'm forgetting that...
It's Cher and Dennis Quaid. I have never seen this movie. How have I never seen this movie?
Which one?
Suspect. Huh. Okay, I know what we're watching.
All right.
It also included John Mahoney, Joe Mantegna. It basically is about, around Christmas, a young woman, Elizabeth Quinn, definitely not a good name for Cher in the movie, waits outside private quarters of Supreme Court Justice. This is already hard to do. It looks like it's a thriller.
Okay.
Who cares? that's all I've got to say. Riveting. So this was, you know, they call them on Drag Race. This episode, to me, was very much a filler queen. I feel like this is to establish us in a different direction. We got all seven couples this time. Mm. There's one more to go. We have a woman who is meeting... another woman from London, I believe. Another
is she from London? She looks very Brighton to me at first glance.
Same thing. In the same way that we've got airports that call themselves London Airport that are in cities, and there are six cities between those cities and London, and they still call themselves London Airport. Right?
We're gonna get in trouble again for the last time. Last time we did this, we got roasted in the sissy squad for being snobs about
that isn't snobby
southeastern regions.
Well,
you
cares.
Said Brighton and London are the same thing.
Brighton is lovely at this time of year. Do you think that there are we've got like two couples here that are leftovers from 90 Day UK and they just put them in this?
I kind of agree with you.
It's really weird.
I don't know what's... I feel like B90 is always a good season, in my opinion, because you get the best nutters, and who it's not going to work out with. I think my theory this time around is I think Sheila and David are the only ones. However, I think Jasmine and Gino are a foregone conclusion that they're going to be on whatever franchise, and I don't care. I will watch it.
Same.
Yeah. But I think of all the others, I think Misha's going home in like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of filler queen.
I see what you did there. That joke had three levels. You know what though? We call her now Megan Fox News. someone coined that, not me.
Genius.
But they're calling her Megan Fox News because she looks like an older Megan Fox, and she's
on
Fox News.
That is inspired. Wow. Yeah.
She has the same surgery, though, of all every Fox News anchor. It's all, and it's not like she's an unattractive person.
No.
I do enjoy the way she speaks very directly, like she's on camera communicating a segment about lemurs.
It's amazing. So everything, she speaks the same as Jen that we had on Toe.
Yes.
It's not the same because Jen worked as like an elocution specialist.
Speech
right?
pathologist.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And
elocution, such a fancy name. What is this? Better. Henry fucking Higgins?
Received pronunciation.
Yes. Elocution.
We should see how Robin actually talks like this.
Yeah, I'll just
like Maggie Smith.
I'm just slamming yes. it down for you scumbags. In it.
You slag.
In it. Slag. In it. I love who was it? Remember the guy on White Lotus, the kind of really rough blonde guy this season who is like fucking the gay guys? And he's like, he said like, in it. And I was like, in me. He was like talking dirty chab talk. And I was like, yes, more. More.
Even I found him quite attractive.
I know.
Attractive. Yeah. So charming.
I think he's one of those. Feel bad for her, but I'm like, you got to fuck him for a few days. That's fine.
I know.
That's enough at that point.
I felt like he was kind of the hero of the season because he was doing what he needed to get by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gotta respect.
I kind of agree with you. Spoiler alert. Doesn't go really well with him and dumpy hipster girl who I liked, who did I call her she looked just like someone from last season or Below Deck, Haley Lou Richardson.
I'm
trying to think who it was. I saw.
I think I might know who you mean.
But was it Alicia wrong. Maybe.
Below Deck Sailing.
Below Deck Sailing Yacht. She reminded me of Haley Lou Richardson.
Oh, but she's anything but dumpy.
Oh,
she's very cute.
No, she's wonderful. But Haley Lou Richardson was kind of dumpy in that what she wore. And
schlubby. Yeah.
She was a little schlubby. Yeah. My mother would say, she just doesn't take care of herself. God. My mother is the one, if you're looking behind me, my mother is the one that helped me put this backdrop up for the window because it was very bright, and she was horrified. She said, everyone's gonna think my sheets are wrinkled. So, and this fern back here is something my mother's like, you know, just add a little spice to your thing. And I'm
it
thinking
does.
Because you
I
know
like it.
So
it works.
You
like
know
to...
so much about camera work.
I'd like you to draw a face on it and have it like be a Tina Turner tribute.
Oh. Rest that, in power, that queen.
Wrong? That feels vaguely
does that feel
racist.
Wrong? It just reminds me she has this big... That, specifically...
Vaguely racist. Can we just jump in? I want to just ask you guys, what do you think so far about this season of B90?
You mean, as you put it... before the 90 days as directed by Lars von Trier.
Exactly.
And now by Francois Truffaut.
It is. It's extremely the whole Rosvon Amanda storyline is extremely bleak. Like even Truffaut had more joy.
Well, I think it's just those moments where particularly in that So I will post this in the squad and in our group, Blighty Day Bays, but I sent Jake a screen grab of Amanda looking particularly sort of 60s-ish
French New Wave. Yes, French. It was very French New Wave.
Yes,
and it's dead on. Also,
Nouvelle Vague.
Nouvelle Vague. Yes. Yeah. Also, David and Sheila are definitely breaking the waves. full on. We're full on. That's in. We're full on Von Trier there. And if they don't make it, I'm going to be very, very upset.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Amanda and Razvan, to me, it's like, you remember all those the pictures of sad Keanu, right?
Yes.
And more recently, we've had like sad Jeremy Strong from Succession, sad Kendall. It's like if the two of them were in a relationship, just the two of them in that car together, you could freeze frame any shot. And it was just both of them pulling the saddest faces known to man.
I agree. And I think that I think her overwhelming malaise actually affects him. Because I think he's a positive person.
Yep.
But she is such a kind of, I think, and also we've talked about this before. She's in a total grief cloud. Mm-hmm. In fact, let's talk about them first. Why not get into the utter mess of it all?
I want to criticize last week the pancakes, right?
Problem with that.
I haven't caught up with your pod from last week, so if you did the pancake thing, I apologize, but I want it on the record at this stage. It is not okay. No way are those the best pancakes in the nation. He's cooking pancakes with no fat. What kind of weirdo cooks pancakes in a dry pan?
I think someone who is less worried about pancakes and more about the chocolate sauce on his ridiculously sculpted chest.
Are you aware, Robin, that the pancakes are not for consumption? Like, do you get why he's making them?
Well, she said they weren't cooked, but
has that escaped?
Pretty dry and rubbery to me, and you know
that is the issue. He is the pancake king.
All right,
that's how he sells it. But it's mostly about people watching it. It's like you don't watch those kind of Korean food porn things where the women are eating the food because of the food. You watch it to watch them shoving the food in their mouths. I always forget the name of that. Someone's screaming.
He's like, what's the name from Paradise? Do you think he sits on the pancakes?
Possibly.
He might, yeah.
But I think it's splooshing, less
spooshing.
Ooh, sploosh. I think it's more about the process and actual rubbing the chocolate sauce all over his chest. I gotta say, I'm not turned on by putting food products on my body.
No.
It doesn't do anything to me.
No.
But when I see him do it, I don't want to eat it off, but there is something there. I'll give him something. He's on to something. That boy's got something. He's got something special.
He's growing on me.
Oh, he's grown on me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that he's in any way the villain of this piece.
No.
I don't think she is either.
I am loath to paint her as the villain because it's all underwritten by trauma. And I want to go, I'm really kind of, you know, lay into her and stuff. I find it impossible to do that.
I think it's easier to call her, for a lot of people, it's easier to go, she's a bad mother, than to try to understand why she's doing what she's doing.
Of course.
And I find it's easier to focus on the fact that you left your children with the babysitter of daddy's ashes. To me, that's easier to focus on and just completely abject. So I found that the inclusion of daddy's box on the way to the airport was perhaps the darkest thing I've ever seen on this show.
It was. David Lynch wouldn't have put that in a movie.
Oh, no.
Because it would have been too bleak.
David Lynch would have gone, oh, no, this is way too weird.
You can imagine Dennis Hopper sucking on daddy's box. Never thought I'd say that.
Michelle's face!
Never thought I'd say that.
Just like sniffing underwear, going right fully into it.
I do have... a dark origin story theory about Amanda, though, which I would love to get your opinion on.
Sure, hit me with it.
I haven't talked about this with anyone.
Including
you. I am reasonably confident that Amanda's late husband was her youth pastor. or her English teacher, or her PE teacher, just somebody in a position of authority.
Because he was significantly older than her. And
Maybe a shift manager at a diner that she worked at, or something like that. Something kind of like some type of father figure for her.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Because the way that she relates to Razvan and the expectations that she has, she is behaving like a child who wants to be corrected.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She's going like in the...
Or comforted.
Yes.
But parented.
Exactly. She's begging to be parented. She is so lost. It's heartbreaking to watch.
Yeah.
And I think she's confused because... And the reason why she's so hell-bent on getting not only the love of her life, but also a father figure for her children, it's really about somebody who is going to steer her in a direction.
Yeah, that totally tracks.
Yeah.
So was that it? So when she saw him at the airport, she was like, you don't look like you could be my dad.
No, it's not that simple. I think the airport and all of that was just a shock response. And I think the thing about the tissues by the bed, which I think is normal, by the way.
I think very normal.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
And I'm a gay guy who has a lot of sex. So
I don't know why he didn't just say to her, yeah, it's for fucking. Like, well, you're going to shame him. It's that whole, don't think you're going to guarantee. It's like, come on. We've been dating like online for ages. We say we love each other. I mean.
What she's doing,
is
though.
Is it unreasonable to think we might have sex?
Well, to follow up Michelle's point, what she's doing is trying to get him to engage with her in a way that her ex-husband would.
Yes,
like she's
exactly.
trying to rib him, and he's going to go, no, I'm going to lay down the law here. But Razvan refuses to do that because he's trying to have somewhat of a normal dynamic
yes, and
of
everything,
equality, and she's just not having it.
Absolutely. He's looking for parody. And actually, if you go back... And look at the things that he's said, even about going to the U.S. and meeting her children, they've all been totally reasonable. If you are in a relationship, if you're dating someone who has children, your position should be that you are going to be a friend to that child rather than a parent, unless, you know, until and unless it gets to the point where it's serious. And then you figure out what that role is going to be, you know?
If it's serious enough for her to have gone out there to meet him to see if he can be a prospective stepfather to her children, then it's serious enough for him to go over and see if he can be a prospective stepfather
and,
to her children.
Oh, that moment where she's like, no, it's just too early. And I'm like, you can't have him over there because right now this is your fantasy of going to Romania to meet your swarthy, like Eastern European fiance, your dream. And then as soon as he's back in Eunice buttfuck, Louisiana, he goes to the Waffle House to see your friends, and it's all going to be ruined for you. So she's completely aware, or has his first cup of 8 o'clock coffee and says, what is this garbage? Actually, I love 8 o'clock coffee. Don't come for me. It's a brand from Louisiana. Someone will come for me.
So Michelle's kind of big theory on this is that because she had a layover in Paris en route, and you think she should have just had a layover in Paris and not continued the journey.
Definitely.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just she would have had a story to tell. She would have had a story to tell.
Bang.
I'm telling you,
she would have had
plenty. The way she looks, she could have banged them all at the airport. Yeah. She could just gotten on the plane after that.
Right.
Gotten some duty-free cologne. A Toblerone and hit the
bit of, hit the Clinique counter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's some duty free Corona, a Toblerone, and head back to the States.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Anyway, even this is the interesting thing here. He's basically talking about, he's like, so, oh, I'm sorry, I just need to take a quick business call. And and he's like, she's like, I was upset that you took a business call and you were saying things in front of me. And I'm like, what are you supposed to do? This is a very American thing that they get upset when people are speaking in their language in front of them. Mm-hmm. And it is a very how am I going to know what you're saying?
Well, I think it's because he said her name.
Yes.
So she was like, you're talking about me. But if he hadn't talked about her, she'd have been, why were you talking about me?
Exactly.
Why am I nothing to do with it? Why didn't you tell him I'm going? It's like, you cannot win. You just can't
win. Later on, he even says, I feel like you're kind of mean to me. Like for the first time, I was like, thank you for saying that, because you've been negging him since you got there.
But he's not even negging, because it's not like she's doing it to make him love her more.
No.
She's just being an arsehole.
No, that's not true. She still has an object in mind. She's trying to, like Jake said, get him to engage with her the way her late husband would have. And to goad him into an argument, because she wants to, and I'm definitely not saying this as someone who behaved like this in the early stages of our relationship, but she wants him to prove that he's not going to leave. And so she shows her worst attributes early on, which I might have done.
I mean, you did hold a few back.
Ooh, this is intense. I love it.
She's gonna be like, right, we're gonna talk this through until the end of the conversation.
But I think you're right, and I think this is gonna get worse and worse. Mm. He's gonna continue to be unhappy. She's going to threaten to leave more. Mm-hmm. She's completely focused on him, on figuring out if he's going to be a good stepfather. And so what she doesn't understand is she's thinking that's all on her to make that decision.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah.
But what
she's
forgetting to do is be a good girlfriend in any way.
Right.
Whatsoever. There is that entitlement, which...
Please, white cisgender heterosexual male, talk to us.
But that's exactly what
talk
I was going
to say about entitlement.
No. But that's exactly what I was going to. I was going to say, as cisgender white heterosexual male. That's the thing. But there is that entitlement, because she's extremely pretty. She's young. She's used to these things, and
she's American. And this show makes Americans feel that way.
Which I was also going to say, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's call it exceptionalism. You get maybe instead of entitlement,
sure, of course. But but she really has never had to try. And also, the fact is, and there was a reason for me saying that, I wasn't just being a pig. But she's never had to try. Because she's never been single. Because she got together with her husband when she was crazy young. He was like her only relationship, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
The only...
Except for Billy Bob in the back of a Dodge Dart.
See, I don't even think there was time for that. I think he was... There's this incredible... And I'm doing this and I'm interjecting in honor of Maddie here. Mm. There is incredible made-for-TV movie that stars... Gary Cole and...
Ooh, I love Gary Cole.
I do too. And Nicole Eggert. And please, Oof. Trigger warnings aplenty, because it was filmed in the early... It's not Travis who were in it, but it was another band. Maybe it was Travis.
Ash.
Yes, Ash. Yeah, so they... Anyway, sorry. It's a made-for-TV movie about... Gary Cole plays a teacher who... preys on his student and grooms her and basically like stops her from having a social life and has a full-blown affair with her. And it's very triggering, but I'm obsessed with it because I get a lot out of watching those old like 80s Lifetime movies where it's happy at the end because the man goes to jail.
Of, you know, those happy child abuse films.
No, but it's, but it was a genre. It's a reckoning, right? Yeah. It's justice being served rather than.
And you, it's like every SVU episode. I will watch every single one I've seen. I've seen everyone like 10 times, but it doesn't matter because I, at the end, I get to see Mariska Hargitay put away the bad guy.
Yes,
and
exactly.
She, in her face that launched 1,000 lesbian ships, and mine. I'm a huge Mariska fan. Mariska forever. Anyway, that's all I, there was only a little bit about them, but though this is going to end in tears. It's, this is DOA. There's no way either of these two can bring this together.
You say that, but we have seen before. Like people, I sometimes think if the more miserable they are, the more likely they are to stay together sometimes. You know, just because they're in, they don't fit at all, that doesn't mean, I mean, I...
Well, that's
I
could dark. Like,
yeah, it is. But it is dark. It's true.
Why are you pointing at me when you say that?
Because, like you said, it's Truffaut does 90 Day. It's
the more miserable I am, right? The more I stay with you.
But the next season they're on, it turns into a Pinter play, right? They just staring at each other
and just stare at one another.
That's all their segments are
with
for
pauses.
Whole season. Can you imagine the tell-all? They just
I love that.
No, the tell-all's going to be awful. Like this season's tell-all, I cannot even imagine.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's lip, Elizabeth Smart,
and even keep going queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners, we know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself. Never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Speaking of a situation that's awful, I'm gonna. This tirade story makes me feel like I want to go into the closet in the dark and hide forever. It makes me question man's humanity to man.
Tyrae's story makes me understand why I need a weighted blanket.
Y'all, this person is so deluded. I just want to go up and give him a hug. I'm glad his sister is there with him. I still don't think the family is supportive enough to him. I think this is so fucking bleak.
He has, again, forgive me, non-theater sissies and non-theater bays, he has fully Blanche DuBois'd. Like, he has lost touch with reality.
Yeah.
He is rewriting history. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even have a notional sense of what this situation is. The lengths that he has gone to.
She's a prostitute. Okay.
She's a prostitute.
Okay.
Yeah,
make that work. Okay.
Ah, so the guys are.
Don't turn on that light. Okay. I can pass for 38 in this light. I promise you, Carmela is a real person. I am certain. Maybe she has a pimp, and he does not want her to answer the phone.
So, Jake, tell me, how was Williams funny? And this is not
Williams
funny.
Was funny because of Yolanda, and Yolanda was naturally funny because Yolanda was ridiculously dumb.
Yeah.
To the point where Yolanda.
And also kind of affluent, and she'd be fine.
Yes. And you know, felt
she
safe.
Felt like she had a life. And but
this... here's, I always say, here's when we can laugh. Like, we can laugh at Misha. Because Misha, we feel safe because we know Misha's going to be okay because she's a nutter. And she's always going to live in her crazy Christ world. We're okay laughing if we feel like the people are going to be safe. And also we get a little worried if if there are children involved, we feel unsafe sometimes. But this, we're not sure he's going to be okay, because he, like you said, he has lost. Tyre has lost all connection to what is real.
He doesn't know anything about him. He was stood in front of those tubs of candy. He didn't know what he wanted. Did you see how long that shot lasted? He was just couldn't make up his mind. He's lost.
This is a Todd Solondz film. This is like one of the darker Todd Solondz films.
Really is.
This is happiness. This is happiness.
It is.
It's not.
So, Alfie, not his real name, was in the room with us when we were watching this exact segment, and he goes,
"Yeah, he wanted us to explain.
We were like, "Oh, right, it's too complicated."
So there's this guy, and he wants to fuck this girl, but this girl's actually a guy, and then it turns out it's a prostitute. It's like, how am I supposed to explain this storyline to my 11-year-old? It cannot be done.
We said somebody was in an online relationship with this person, and they pretended to be someone who they weren't, and used fake pictures. And he goes, just with like the innocence of a child in his big blue eyes, he goes, why would someone do that?
Yes, that is what we do. And that existential pain haunts us for every minute as we watch these segments.
I mean, there's one answer. You know, money.
Money. Yeah. So he also theorizes that Carmela, when he's with his sister, that he's tried to get messages to Carmela, and he's still referring to the guy, Christian, as her, and he says, but maybe she's in prison. Maybe the pimp doesn't want her to talk to me. And
the husband in that particular scenario.
But the strange thing is, it's like, I felt like, well, this is Catfish, not 90 Day. I don't quite know why this is on the show. And I've been thinking that all along. Like, why is this on the show? But now he wants to be on Lalu. It's like he's just going through all the different shows. And I'm thinking, which one's going to be next? It's like, oh, she's in a pod somewhere and I haven't seen her.
I totally agree. And I think this is a consequence of watching a lot of reality shows where this happens. And he's going, but it couldn't be, because this couldn't be happening to me, because my life is just normal. But this woman, because Tyre had so very, very little light in his life. And this woman, this man who was pretending to be a woman, gave him light. And so when you take that away, everything goes upside down. So it makes sense. I just want to say one thing. Mm. He also says, the sister found out, as she says, some bad stuff about Carmela online. And so it shakes her so much she drops her big gulp, which was very upsetting to me.
Yeah, she literally spills the tea.
Yes. Yes. The escort page, we find out this person is California based, and it gets worse. And I said, Bakersfield, Stockton. And I went, well, no wonder she's soliciting, because no one wants to be in Bakersfield or Stockton.
Well, I was thinking,
sorry, Christina.
I was thinking it was the lyrics to Route 66.
Bakersfield and Stockton, Tempe too. Dun, yeah. Dun, 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 yeah. Dun. You can get there. Just tell them I'm your boo. I'm also a sex worker.
That was the biggest jaw drop. Or the biggest mental leap, even bigger than her having gone to prison and her husband was the one answering the phone, was that Carmela is the escort in those pictures.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
And that she has been.
But how can she's in the Bahamas? How can she also be in Stockton? Because
no, that wasn't the argument. The argument was, oh, she's been so near to me whole time.
Yes, but yes.
This person doesn't exist.
But she's not, because she's probably in fucking Toronto because it's an influencer or something, and the prostitute's using the picture, the catfish is using the picture. God knows how many other people are using these pictures.
How many eventually, people are using
If they didn't keep pixelating it, the woman might actually come forward.
Did you notice that when he said he's calling her but blocking her number so she won't notice? I'm like, so you know how to block someone's number,
right?
But you don't understand how catfishing works.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up.
And you've watched every episode of Catfish ever, and you don't know how catfishing works.
Right.
Well, I was just surprised. I haven't thought, I mean, obviously, I haven't lived in the US for 14, 15 years now. But I haven't dialed *67 since I was in middle school making prank calls.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I was not aware that you could do that on a cell phone.
I think you can.
So if you can.
I think you still can. But you can certainly do it on your phone.
Oh, you can, especially if you're trying to prank, let's say, or just mess around with maybe a ailing elderly husband's daughter, a smart mouth daughter. Just to get back at her.
Oh, no.
If you need to.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, if you need to just mess with her, because she's a lawyer and she's going to get that DNR. She's getting that. She won't let me sign that DNR. Anyway, it's allegedly. they're always lawyers. All of them have daughters who are lawyers, and they're all bitches.
I loved his reckoning with technology was to literally throw it across the lawn.
I will
really
say,
extreme way of like do not disturb on your phone is to throw it over the park.
And I've the only that. Thing about this storyline is how absurd it is. So I think they kept it in here for us to go, oh, because you're exactly right. Why was Yolanda Williams funny?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And why is this heartbreaking and sad? We don't think he's safe. And
there is only one way this can go, right? Because I keep thinking, why is this in the show? My theory, and it's only a 10%er, right? But I'm holding out hope, is that this is like, do you remember Creepy David who went to Russia?
Oh, yes. Yeah? With Lana.
Right? And you remember how we were all like, oh, she's fucking real. Right?
Lana,
no one's entertaining the possibility.
No.
He's right all along. But only if he is right does this belong on 90 Day. And I have this 10% thing that they have.
Oh, Robin.
A scorcher in the bank.
You sweet summer child.
But, you know, fool me once, right? They've done it before.
My,
if they haven't,
oh,
like, why is this on the show?
When we found out Caesar's Maria was real.
Was real, yeah.
That the fact that they kept that from us is still one of the miracles of 90 Day Fiancé. My theory is that we're actually going to meet the woman in the photos, and they're going to have a video chat, and that's going to be the closure he needs.
Maybe.
And then he'll just keep playing ukulele in the park, the same one his father might have been murdered in.
My hope is that it's a submit situation, and he actually falls in love with the catfisher, even though he's a man.
Oh, interesting. I think there is a lot of the specter of homophobia lingers over this story, because I think he's questioning, oh shit, am I gay? And because I was with, is there something in me that knew all along?
Did you notice how he says they all the time?
Always.
He never gendered him.
Yeah,
he
can't do that.
Yeah. Do.
Can we do something a little more fun and talk about Misha and Nicola?
Yes, Jake. Yes, Jake. We will talk about
Jake.
Misha.
Jake,
we
can do
we
that,
will
Jake.
Talk about it, Jake.
Okay,
yes,
Jake,
we will
talk
Jake.
About it now, Jake.
Nicola, I'm here in Israel with my boyfriend, Nicola.
This is right before the segment on the construction that's happening on I-15. Y'all, we found out that she wasn't a news person. She was a traffic person.
Oh, bless.
In Philadelphia.
Did you think it was good the way they had a guy lampooning like local TV journalism in the same episode?
It was genius.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Sharp has these little Easter eggs everywhere.
Yeah.
He's so y'all, they're waking up in their messy hotel room with their Lucy and Ricky beds. And
that's exactly what I wrote down, that they're Lucy and Ricky beds.
Ricky, I want to be in the club act.
Misha, no, you're going to marry me and not going to tell my mom.
I love that she woke up with a full face of makeup, fresh as a daisy.
With a sleep mask on.
Yes.
It was very Vanessa Williams from Ugly Betty. Like how she would wake up in this kind of, well, what else are we going to do today, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
And I like the way he woke up already smelling of fish, which was good. You know? He'd applied his fish scent for the day. It's good.
I feel like he is so fucking creepy. I am certain he always smells, like his breath is always garlicky or just rank.
It has to be garlic, yeah.
And I have a feeling he is, I will say, he is one of the most repellent men we've had. Given, even though I've been given very little information about him, I'm so repulsed by him.
Yeah, because he's actually acceptable adjacent. That's the thing. Like, in another light, from another angle, in another age, like, he's kind of okay. But if it's just...
Michelle's giving you such a side eye.
I don't know. Like, if you took his face away and his hair away, his body away, his personality away, and his voice away, then...
You'd have the invisible man, so sounds great. I do want to say there is something about him. If he had a new personality, maybe he wouldn't be as bad. But that personality, like, y'all, he's even saying, Misha, wake up early. Wake up. She's like, why are you up so early? And you know, y'all, she's jet lagged. And so
she's hungover. Did you see probably how much wine?
Yeah, they drank a lot.
But y'all, as she said, nothing happened last night, so God was very proud of us. God's not proud of any of us, y'all. Like, he turns his face away in shame.
I have been looking forward to having this conversation with you.
God is proud of us and how God should,
Where does God draw the line when it comes to sin?
Petting and sin.
Yeah. We did stuff, but nothing that God would consider a sin.
I don't think they left room for the Holy Spirit in that single bed.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I think God is okay with everything up until fingering.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Oh, I think like, it included fingering, though.
No, I think God.
But
God,
I think heavy petting means fingering to me.
Does
otherwise,
it?
Yeah, it's medium petting otherwise.
I don't. I think because I'm a gay man, it's a little weird because we're all like first base is all the way for us. Right. So it's kind of hard to. It's kind of hard
yeah,
to.
It's hard to make that comparison. I mean,
so nothing's going in; things are just on.
I'm going to depart from that subject, and I mean that in the leftovers sense. Like, I'm just going to exit. I'm going to magically disappear from that part of the conversation because I don't want to. I think it's important to talk about intimacy, but I just don't want to, right in this moment, think about him finger banging her and saying, "Do you like that, Misha? Misha, do you like it? Misha? Misha, have you come? Misha, are you coming now?"
I'm parting the Red Sea.
Oh,
I don't even know what that means. I don't even know.
The thing is, we've had a lot of people, the idea that we were very confused when he was from Israel and he was a Catholic. Yeah. And the first thing I thought of was this is a radical conversion happened. Someone brought up to that he's definitely ethnically not Israeli. He's ethnically probably Palestinian or mm-hmm. Jordanian. And they do have more Arab. There are more Arab Catholics and more Arab Christians. But they are the most extreme that are there. But can you imagine how normal Israelis probably think of him? Like, look at this crackpot.
I was going to say that before I knew that he wasn't Israeli and trying to offer the benefit of the doubt. And you know what? It's not even an Israeli thing.
He is Israeli.
He's Israeli, but like,
Israelis are hot. Yes. Israeli men are gorgeous.
It's the brutal irony of going to the place that has the most beautiful men in the world.
And for that,
it has got to be the biggest slap in the face ever. But what I was going to say is it's definitely a cultural mismatch in Israel to not be very direct and blunt and brusque in communication. So I gave him the benefit of the doubt mm-hmm. early on when he was sort of deflecting and things like that, because that is that forcefulness, if you like, the total opposite of what you have here in England, which is like mm-hmm. politeness to the point of it being passive aggressive.
Possibly have an offender.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like,
am I
totally
finger banging you
that.
Enough to make you come? Is that going to make you come? Is this okay?
They wouldn't even they don't even start doing it, Jake. They wait for an invitation, and even then, they ask you if you're sure 400 times.
God. And then we apologize, Jerry.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Well,
I'm so sorry I made you come. That must have been really awful.
See, Robin is not ethnically British. Robin is ethnically Transylvanian, Romanian.
Oh, so you just
from the Dick Riviera.
You just take her before she knows what's going on.
What he wants. That's what I like about him.
Gonna bite that.
You still have work to do in the fields, so you have to. There's still hate to be baled.
Get on with my day.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's a bit of me, this one.
It's a bit of me. He's a bit of me. Oh, God.
But yeah, so I gave him the benefit of the doubt that can be a cultural misunderstanding, that deflection or that forcefulness. But when he got to, I need to show her who the man is.
Yeah, you lost me.
He lost. Well, to be brutally honest, he lost me at that hotel room because absolutely, I would not. And look, even my neurodivergence, my autism aside, I could not stay in a room like that. It didn't feel
those.
It was very small.
The bedspreads looked so old. I thought they might be like Turin shroud, kind of like with, it was on the face of Jesus at some point.
These were the bedspreads that were wrapping the body of Jesus. This is where Mother Mary went and washed her face.
She has picked an odd, speaking as someone who was raised Catholic, she's picked an odd branch of Christianity. Yeah. Because
she has the conservative Catholic branch is bizarre. Yeah.
It's quite misleading for her to be doing the whole like, oh, and save us from the hellfire, because we don't do that in Catholicism.
I think the other thing, this idea about going to Nazareth, it almost feels like we're in like Jesus amusement park. Like you're gonna buy things like the Last Supper, and you're gonna get like souvenirs and shit.
Okay,
thank God there were no, like, there was no one standing there going, get you Mary water! Mary water here!
I guarantee you that was off camera. I promise you.
Yeah, there has to be.
Okay.
But I have a theory about that. So I, please don't ask me why, dated a Jehovah's Witness.
They're very persistent.
And I had to think, come up with things for us to do so that I wouldn't think about having sex with him.
Wow.
And so when we did go out, we either always had to be around other people or there had to be these big things. And he was Irish as well. So fortunately, he could drink a lot.
That's really different. I thought a lot of American Jehovah's Witnesses don't drink.
He could bend the rules.
You can't be Irish and not drink. Come on.
Right, exactly. He could bend the rules about some things and not others, which became a sticking point eventually, or a non-sticking point, if you like.
That's what they called you in college, the sticking point.
She's got more pricks in her than a dartboard. That's what they used to say.
Wow.
She's had more pricks in her than I'm a very accommodating lady, just not more than one.
Got more is really pushing that gag, isn't it?
No, but I think this is his way of avoiding all serious conversations and conversations that don't have to do with, like, he's trying to keep her at arm's length so that he doesn't.
You ever had to show anyone around town, Jake?
I have.
Fucking nightmare.
It is. And when someone says, what I do when friends visit Los Angeles, I'm like, can I just pop you on that bus tour and then pick you up later and we'll go eat dinner I hate all tourist things.
Yeah.
And they say, we just go to Hollywood Boulevard. And I'm like, absolutely not. No. If you want to go, fine. I'm not going with you. I hate it.
I want to see where the phoenix died.
And I'm like, here, I'm going to pop you on a bus tour and I'll see you in 8 hours. That's the way it goes.
I think that's fair, because if you don't, I'm the same. I hate tourist destinations, tourist attractions of any kind. Even with an ass pass where you get to jump the line, I jump the queue, rather.
Jump the queue?
Jump the queue, yeah, which everyone hates. It's not only going to be unpleasant for me, it's going to be horrible for the person I'm showing around, because I'm going to be miserable the whole time.
Right.
And I can't disguise that. I've never been to the London Eye. Doesn't have any appeal for me. I've never been I have been inside the House of Commons. Been inside Westminster Abbey.
Ooh, that's actually a good one. I love being inside Westminster.
But Miss...
And she liked it too. That Abby. Got no complaints.
With this,
you were on fire when you visited last time.
Yeah, I was a little singed. just fine. I opened my mouth and I was like, "In nomine Deus Patris Filius Spiritus Sanctus." Anyway, y'all, he is showing her, like I said, he is showing her the Mary fountain or the Mary well or whatever it is. And then we get in on, he's like, well, Nicola, if I'm going to marry you, I guess I should meet your mom or your family. He's like, you're not marrying my mom. Show me in the Bible where it says that we need to meet your family. I'm like, well, it says you shouldn't lie.
That was rough.
If the Bible is meant, correct me if I'm right or wrong, is the Bible supposed to contain absolutely everything that might ever happen?
Yes, Robin. The Bible has answers for everything. And we read it literally.
But does it have specific answers for absolutely everything? Like, I think that's really pushing it. Like, to say, show me where it says in the Bible we're having turkey tonight. You know?
Well, the Torah does.
Okay, all right.
The Torah, like, the Torah tells you how to live. Yeah. The Torah basically is a... The Torah is more of
a... Well, the Talmud. You've got to expand it out beyond the Torah. You need all of
Yeah, but the Talmud is about... is more about quality of life and...
What am I, and yeshiva again?
I'm the one that did the Jewish conversion course. No, but yeah.
But it feels like it's pushing it. Like, you can't just say whenever you're in an argument, there's nothing specifically about this particular
thing. But we've seen this before, right? I hate to direct you back to Nicole and... person whose name I've already forgotten.
Miss Mood. Miss Mood, if you're nasty.
Miss Mood.
Y'all, we've already heard they've been cited in Los Angeles. They've been very nice. And I asked, how were Miss Mood's noodle wrists? Were they flipping around? And I'm like, was she cack-cack-a-lack-cack-cack-cack-cack? And apparently, he was very kind. Nicole was slightly cold, but Miss Mood was more than willing to talk.
I'm sure he was
in North Hollywood somewhere.
But yes, he, you know, they had that conversation of show me in the Quran where it says I have to do this or that, right? Yeah. So he's just saying,
excuse me.
He's just saying, show me in the Bible where it says I have to introduce you to my mother. I'll tell you why he's not introducing her to his mother, because no one is going to believe that he is not paying for her company.
That is true. And even the mother's like, you got to be kidding me, right?
Never has a man who's looked like that, been with a woman like that, and not wanted to introduce her to his primary school teacher, every single person that lived next door to him, his, you know, his postman. You would be parading her up and down Nazareth on a float.
Surely. Yeah, you. And he even said, I think this is a question of... I think this man is so afraid of an unkind word from his mother that he is doing everything to kind of get her hitched so he can say, hey, mom, look, I'm married. I told you I wasn't gay or something like that. Or also, I told you I wasn't completely unacceptable like you've said all my life.
And also, hey, mom, I'm married and that cannot be undone.
That's true.
Right.
And
what's she
going
to do
about
it? Tell him to divorce, you know?
It also means I can get out of your house, you paradin, finally.
Can I be really perhaps politically incorrect for a moment?
Sure.
His mother's hard of hearing.
Yes.
So why doesn't he roll up with Misha and go, hi, mother, this is Misha. She's going to be my wife. And then when she goes, What? I don't understand. Then he just says to her in Arabic, this is someone from church that I'm giving a tour of. Could you please smile? Because she will recognize that as your acceptance of her. Just whisper it.
Yeah, also, just say it in Arabic. Because you can introduce her. You can say whatever the hell you want.
It is kind of the best option because mom's not going to be around forever, you know, and just maybe she doesn't need to know.
That's my position as well with all of these unaccepting family members, just fucking forget it.
Yeah. You know, like, don't look for approval.
I understand. And I've been rejected by my fair share of Jewish potential mothers-in-law, right? And my present mother-in-law, hopefully my last mother-in-law.
Blows hot and cold.
She blows hot and cold, but mostly cold, particularly as regards what I eat.
Where you are.
Where I am. Yeah. How I speak to her grandson,
what you buy,
what I buy, yeah, and where, at what time, for what price. Yeah, yeah. So she's, yeah, very involved. Yeah. So I sympathize with that, but at a certain point, you really have to do what makes you happy and not what's, yeah, going to create,
totally,
the picture perfect family in your mind. Because again, you're also applying American standards or Midwestern standards or whatever, yeah, whatever, yeah, her idea of like that picture perfect family is, to a culture that's not her own, where so maybe people have, you know, more privacy. I don't know.
I don't tell my sister shit about my life.
You don't need to, everybody.
There's this assumption that everyone that has siblings is in up each other's asses, right? I never talk to my sister. We have very little to do with each other. We may occasionally have to interact. Occasionally, we're not very similar. I don't, and that's fine. But she's taking that personally, right?
So this has been the misanthropy hour. I just want to say one last thing. A great straight out of Nicola's pickup line book is, you look the most cute when you are mute.
When you are mute.
And it rhymes. You look the most cute when you are mute. Hey, Misha. Dun, 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 dun.
That
you're better when you shut your face, right, Misha?
That's the song that they cut from Oklahoma, right?
That's what Allie Hackam sang to. That's what Allie Hackam sang to Annie Oakley later on when he had a crush on her. You look the most cute when you are mute, Annie Oakley, or not Annie Oakley, Ado Annie.
Yeah, I knew it was wrong, but I daren't correct you because I was like, no,
you can.
He said it. It, oh, has to be.
Well, no, Maddie would have screamed at me.
Musical theater off.
There's no competition. Jake and I are in accord on most
things. We are
things,
in a cold.
Including the fact that Ben Elton should not be bringing back We Will Rock You for any reason, nor should he be starring
as
in
a
it.
Nation,
what is
starring.
That? What is that? Who is seeing this? These Nigel's wives.
Have you read the reviews? Have you read
I sent him one, I think.
It's a joy.
Yeah.
I'm glad for shows to be that bad so that, you know, old journalists like me get to still have fun fucking slating things.
You say that, but most of the left-wing press was positive about it because they don't want to piss off Ben Elton.
The problem with the piece is it makes no fucking sense. Like, even as a parody, it makes no sense.
Nope.
And yes, it's got great songs, but who cares? Okay, I'm going to get off my soapbox. Y'all, anyway, this is not going to go well. It's DOA. I say she's leaving in 3 days.
Yeah.
If she makes it that far.
How's she going to carry those suitcases by herself? That's what I'm worried
about. I will
say,
we also had one Swedish sissy came for her daughter's names, which are Morea, which we said, oh, that must be a Scandinavian name. And Svea, the Swedish sissy said, first of all, Morea means nothing in Swedish. So that's not a thing. She's like, but Svea means Mother Sweden. And I don't know anyone who's younger than 100 years old who has it. The daughters, remember, who are stunning,
gorgeous.
Those daughters.
The Aniko and Aspen.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were cool. I said on one of our pods, they reminded me, again, 90 Day UK. Do you remember Emma's daughter, was it?
Emma, yes.
Yeah, do you remember her? Do you remember how cool her
daughter
was?
The one who jumped in Hussein's arms.
Yeah, but she really had her head screwed on, right?
And he went, get off me, girl.
Ew. I'll be right back. I'm just going to call my mom.
La, la, la. La, 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 la. That's just in his head all the time. Now it's padam, padam. Anyway, y'all. That's the end of part one. We're going to move on with part two while we talk about Gino and Jasmine and David and Sheila. And then we're also talking about Christian and Cleo, which I'm really worried about. Michelle is going to weigh in on some great camera work that
yes,
that the editors are giving us.
As the resident Aspie, I can lend my expertise to the editing there.
Yeah, with the camera work, and then you need to focus on people's faces. It was like all of a sudden she had supersonic hearing.
Do you remember Heroes, the NBC
show?
Yes, Heroes?
That's what it was like. All right, thank you, y'all. We will be back. We'll be back tomorrow, but next time for another part two of this episode. Thank you, Robin and Michelle. We will see you soon. Bye, y'all.
Ciao, Bella.